95 FM WBAI New York and on the internet at WBAI.org. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. It is 5 a.m. New York City time and time for back of the book. Stay tuned.
Got to be.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I am suspecting that it is in the vicinity of 5 a.m., and therefore you're listening to All the Middle Third Has Arrived Radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program, and you can find out a little bit more about that stuff by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. At the top of that blue navigation frame, it will say latest back of the book program links. Click on that and you will get to the web page for this morning's radio program. This is our 134th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we can't reference them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times, and they are still dangerous. The top story of the past week is we have once again ascended to the rare heights of 121 followers on Twitter. Oh, the multiverse trembles at the enormous number of followers we have on Twitter. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held this coming Wednesday, May 10th, 2023 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. And we all know that there's competition with us right now. Yes, because they know we have such a huge audience, the royalty of England has decided to try and cut into our listenership. That's right, King Chucky III is getting crowned today. And the Brits over there have decided that because we have such a large audience, they want to drain some of that away from us. And so they are starting King Chucky III's coronation right about now. Yes, and they're starting it over there at some time in their morning or mid-morning. And of course here, The coverage starts at 5 o'clock in the goddamn morning. So they're in competition with us. Well, we hope that you will all stay with us because we're a lot more interesting than Chucky the Third going up there with all of these people riding around in their silly costumes and making believe that kings mean a whole lot. Yeah, stay with us. The hell with King Chucky the Third. Maybe we'll have other things to say about him as he does king stuff later on. Who knows? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, on their website say that in America, the number of reported cases of COVID-19 as of Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time was 104,618,931, and the death toll in America was 1,131,819. The CDC is saying that the death toll was 1,109 for this past week. That's a little bit higher than last week's death rate from COVID-19. So, you know, it's not that much higher, but it's higher. And gee whiz, are we now at sort of a level where this is what it's going to be like from now on? It's going to be over 1,000 people dead a week from this for years into the future? Or is this just a little minor thing and the numbers will start going down again soon? Stay tuned. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations. Pickles got her second bivalent booster shot last Saturday morning, or at noon. And so she's getting all revved up to deal with those damn viruses. I plan to get mine soon, now that these shots have been approved for old farts like us. So far, the VA says we ain't giving them out yet. Haven't been authorized yet. So we got to call them this coming week and see if they'll let me get my second bivalent shot. It's interesting that the VA isn't giving them out yet. They're not authorized yet. But pharmacies and stores are giving them out.
Well, they're authorized to give them to veterans who have not yet had the bivalent shot.
Well, I'm talking about the second booster. So, gee whiz, you know. The you got yours at a store. So why, you know, it's the VA. Anyway, so yeah, I'll be getting mine soon. And we are not among those who are saying that getting a COVID-19 infection is like getting a cold. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. This was all mostly preventable.
Now, something important did happen this past week. The WHO, the World Health Organization, has, as of May 5th, 2023, declared an end to the public health emergency of international concern. The WHO first declared this emergency on January 30th, 2020. And, of course, that was the declaration they needed to make before they could declare that there was a worldwide pandemic, which they did on March 11th, 2020. There is still a worldwide pandemic. People are still contracting COVID. People are still getting long COVID. People are still dying of COVID. The WHO says that the death toll worldwide for COVID is closer to 20 million rather than the 7 million. And they are including now, I think, over 14 million people who would not have died had they ever contracted COVID, people who had what they call comorbidities. They'd still be around.
So these are the excess death numbers, 14 yeah. million.
Yeah, so wow. They figure in all, it's at least 20 million people who have died directly from COVID. So it's pretty awful. And also, a lot of numbers were underreported by countries. Some countries had problems reporting. Well, and I will note, too, that the big influenza pandemic took years to end. The one that happened, like, around 100 years ago, it took years to end. So one doctor said that he felt that the pandemic wouldn't end until there was another pandemic, which, man, I...
Oh. Is something going to eat the Omicron variant of COVID-SARS-2? Oh, gosh.
So, you know, just be cautious still, because people are still getting sick. My auntie, who lives in Ontario, her senior residence, the first year, no one got COVID. It was amazing that nobody got it. This was before vaccines, before a lot of things. And it was running rampant in senior facilities, and no one got it. Right now, there are at least 7 cases, you know, some of which are right on her floor. So she's like not going down for dinner anymore, you know. She's always worn her mask when she's been around other people in the facility.
And how old is she?
She's going to be 90 years old in a few weeks.
Better be careful, because, you know, at 90, you're not that robust anymore.
But it shows that people are still getting sick.
Yeah.
You know, and it is not the same as getting the influenza.
Yeah, there's a short story, Pale Horse, Pale Rider, very famous short story. And I believe it was written in the 20s, and it talks about somebody getting this. And oh, boy, oh, boy. And she, oh, boy, it went on into the 20s. So 100 years ago, there was still a tail end of a pandemic going around through the world. We are in mid-spring right now, and we've been in mid-spring for a couple of weeks, I think. And the exact minute of mid-spring hit us on Friday morning at 4:47 a.m. And so that means when you're listening to this program, and as we're recording this program, we are now in the second half of spring. And this can be a very, very nice time of year. Speaking of very nice times of year, the middle third is here. The middle third happened. You should be lit. Well, this program will go live on the air on May 6th, 2023, at 5 o'clock in the morning or so. And so we're going to be going on there. And so far, the middle third, by the way, the middle third is the middle 4 months of a year. May, June, July, and August, those months, and I like the middle third. Figured out years ago, that was the best part of the year to me. May, June, July, August. Not everybody likes it. I like it. Includes most of summer and a bunch of spring. I like the middle third. In any event, this middle third so far has mostly been a wet and overcast middle third. But there's probably going to be some sunny days coming, we hope. We did have a month of May some years ago that was gloomy and rainy for the entire month, and it was unseasonably cool for the entire month. Oh, I was so disappointed. I was looking for somebody to write a nasty letter to, but I couldn't find anybody. This program is also not airing exclusively in the deep night anymore because it is now mid-spring. In fact, today, May 6th, 2023, the sun will rise at 5:49 a.m. before we go off the air. And, you know, we go off the air at 6 officially, but we are required to not do a full hour. We're required to do 55 minutes or so. And so we'll go off at some point, but at 5:49, we're still going to be on the air. And I guess maybe we'll remember to acknowledge that, gee whiz, the sun is up, which means we're not really a deep night program at this point in time. So that, I guess, is the compromise we have to have. It's nice to have the middle third, but during a certain portion of it, for the next few weeks anyway, we are going to be broadcasting with more and more of the program being in broad daylight. This didn't used to happen, but they moved us around, and here we are. Oh, well.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Late last month, Montana Republicans voted 68-32 to silence Democratic transgender legislator Zoe Zephyr. They banned her from floor debates for breaking decorum because during a debate on a proposed law that would ban gender-affirming health care for minors, she said to the lawmakers who were voting on this law, quote, "If you vote yes on this bill and yes on these amendments, I hope the next time there's an invocation, when you bow your heads in prayer, you see the blood on your hands," unquote. Under the motion that they passed, 68-32, Zephyr will be allowed to vote, but she's barred from the House floor, anteroom, or gallery for the remainder of the legislative session, which is scheduled to end on May 10th, which is this week. And, geez, you know, wow. Their vote. This, really, that's something. In the past, poll takers have conducted polls that asked people on the street if they would favor amending the Constitution with certain things. The people who were being asked about this were shown the Bill of Rights of the Constitution, and the majority of them said that they would be against amending the Constitution with those amendments. Boy, lucky thing they weren't around when those amendments were passed. I guess the First Amendment is not something the Montana House of Representatives favors or acknowledges. God, it's obviously a First Amendment thing, debating a motion and saying, "How shame on you for passing this garbage." And I'm sure stuff like that has been done in the past in the Montana House. But, oh, they want to go after Zoe Zephyr because she's transgendered. And they probably want to go over and go punch her. But they figure, we might not be able to get away with that, so we'll do this. The hell with the First Amendment in Montana. God damn. You know, if something bad happens to those legislators, I will not feel bad about it. Maybe the House will fall apart on top of them, and that'll be it. Oh, really, the right wing is just getting so awful. Why, here comes that royal procession now. Oh, boy, that's Chucky III riding his bicycle. Oh, you can't say we aren't keeping you updated on Chucky III and his coronation. Oh, those people are in his way. Why can't they get... Oh, it's a cow. There's a cow in Chucky's way. Oh, and there he goes. He's keeping on moving. Okay. Whoa, we had to bring you that live update of Chucky III having to ride his bicycle to a coronation there. Eh, you know, Brexit and all, they don't have a lot of money over there anymore. They ain't that rich anymore. Yes, we are the harmonica-playing hobos on the WBAI pitching train. Woohoo! Yes, we're here to beg you for money. Okay, what does that even mean? Well, this is listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI New York, and what we do is we do not run commercials. We aren't selling you flapjacks. We aren't selling you DeSoto Plymouths. Well, that would be interesting. That would require our time machine. But I think the time machine may have been lost in our last move. I'm not sure. We used to have one. And then, of course, we're also not selling you some silly thing with a cone with essential oils in it that you light up and put up on a ceramic thing and the smoke trickles down. We've been seeing those goddamn things all over TV for the past month or more. And we ain't selling you that crap. What we're doing right here and now is we're just begging you to help us out. We are asking you to call 1-212-209-2950. That's a call center number. You call that and you tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. A BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining membership here at WBAI. And you can become a member if you just donate $25. Call the same or more. Call the same number, 212-209-2950, and say you want to make a one-time donation in the name of Back of the Book. That's the name of this radio program. And they'll do it. Tell them how much you want to donate. For the becoming a BAI buddy, a sustaining member, you still call 1-212-209-2950, and you tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And at that point, you will give them your credit card or debit card number, and you'll tell them how much you would like to donate on a monthly basis. It can be $10, $15, $20, more if you want. And you then tell them what day of the month you want that money charged to your credit card or debit card. And they will do that. And that way you don't get charged at an inconvenient time of the month. So we're asking you to help us out here. We provide this programming, and of course you can just listen to us the way you listen to every other radio station in the world. But in our case, we don't run those commercials. You don't see us trying to sell you cars or those silly things where the smoke comes out. Yeah, it purifies the air. Sure it does. You're putting smoke in the air. That doesn't purify it. So we are just asking you to donate. It's a donation. It's tax deductible, by the way. So if you're very, very wealthy and you'd like to donate $100,000 to WBAI in the name of Back of the Book, just call 1-212-209-2950 and tell them you want to donate a lump sum of $100,000. And we'll see if anybody has a heart attack. 1-212-209-2950. Seriously, we have bills. We got to pay our bills. We're falling behind in some things. And we know from being told this a whole lot by people who have been addressing the issue of BAI not having enough money that if you go to like a big donor, you can never get them to do things like helping to pay your operation costs, which is the ordinary bills you get. You got to tell them, we're going to build, you know, the West Wing of our palatial studios or something, and we'll name it after you or use if a bunch of people contribute. Or, you know, we're going to redo some physical thing and we'll put your name on a brick, something like that. But we're told those big donors, those people who do bequests and major donations, they generally will not donate to pay your ordinary bills. Some do. Somebody did donate a while ago, and that helped. But the deal is, that means we have to ask you, the very ordinary listener to WBAI, to help us with this. We need to appeal to you to get up, go to your phone, or just flip it open, or whatever you do with them these days. Dial 1-212-209-2950 and say, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. We have to pay rent and utilities at 4 Times Square, where the transmitter is and where we have access to an antenna. We have to pay rent on 388 Atlantic Avenue, which is where the studios are. And we have to, of course, pay our very tiny staff. There are very few people. There are, I think there are 7 full-time equivalents at this point. We have to pay them. And, you know, we can't get around it. There are bills, and we've fallen behind, and we owe the tower rent. We owe rent on the studios, and you might say, gee whiz, you know, that's not big, sexy stuff. No, it's not, but it's absolutely essential to us to keep producing radio programs. We cannot be on the air without the transmitter and antenna access. So if we don't pay the rent there, flip a switch and we're off. So if you hear BAI suddenly being off the air, that may well be why, because we couldn't raise enough money. And it is not difficult. They don't have to do anything. There's already a lease agreement, and they say, well, BAI hasn't paid their rent on the tower for X amount of time, and that's a violation. So they'll flip a switch, just like flipping a switch in a room. You want to turn off the light? You flip the switch. It is that easy. Bang. The power is off. And with no power, you're not broadcasting anymore. And they can do it, and it's legal, and it gets done at times. So we are facing that, and we need you to help us out. And if you don't want to have them throw the switch and take BAI off the air, we need you to become a sustaining member, a BAI buddy, in the name of Back of the Book, by calling 1-212-209-2950. Also, as we've stressed in the past, for these overnight programs, we are being pressured because there are people saying, let's take these programs and dump them and rent out WBAI 7 nights a week from midnight to 6 a.m. And then all of those programs, which are so eclectic, will be gone. And I don't know what the hell you'll hear. You'll hear some goddamn thing that won't be these overnight programs. And they'll be piped in from some other place. Oh, we need folks to call us up here. 1-212-209-2950. Oh, there goes that cow in front of Chucky the Third's golden bicycle. Yes, here we go. Oh, he's still going around there. Jeez, you know, it's a golden bicycle, but Christ, that guy can't pedal very fast. Oh, the cow is outrunning him. Oh, the cow is outrunning Chucky the Third. But he's not truly completely Chucky the Third yet. We'll keep you updated. No need to tune away to any place else. 1-212-209-2950. That's the number we need you to call. We really need you to call it right now. I mean, seriously, we need you to call that number and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. By doing that, you will help to keep Back of the Book on WBAI and keep other overnight radio programs on WBAI, and you'll be able to keep WBAI on the air. Because we are facing problems here, and we need you to help us out. Again, 1-212-209-2950. Please call that number now and become a BAI buddy. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org.
Swiss cheese bone update. Okay, well, when last we were concerned about the bones, dear listeners, I found out I had a high risk of fracture in me spine, and medium risk of fracture in me bone leg. I don't know, in me...
Your hip?
Is that the hip? Thank you, sir. Well, you know...
Those hard words.
The hip bone is connected to... Anyway, so right now I'm taking something called hallodronate sodium.
This is for osteoporosis.
Yeah, and it's, Swiss cheese bone. And it's a... What is it? A biofosinate? Is that how you say it?
Biofosinate? Sounds like? I don't know.
Anyway, it's something that was developed in the 70s, and it's been used as a medical treatment for osteoporosis and Paget's disease of the bone, which, by the way, one of my grandmas had, which was, that's a whole other condition.
Yeah, that's a very strange one. Yeah. And, gives rise to stories about Vikings who were hit in the head with an axe and it didn't bother them because their skulls were so thick.
Well, yes, osteoporosis, your bones are weakened. Paget's disease of the bone, it deforms your bones. My grandma got it. She was so old when she got it that she really did not have any deformity. And a lot of specialists looked at her. They thought that was a wonder. Yes, people get that who are from parts of Europe, like France, and all her ancestors. That's where they were from. So anyway, so I'm taking this stuff. And you got to take it, and you got to not have anything in your tum-tum when you take it, and you got to sit there for 2 hours or walk around for 2 hours, and it has a plethora of side effects. I'm hoping I don't get any of them.
And you have to stay upright, because if you lay down or something, you get a massive acid reflux from this medication, right?
Yes, that's the big common effect of it, you know. But I can do that. That's not a problem, and it can make you a little dizzy.
Uh-oh.
Which I've noticed that's happened, but I can also deal with that too because I can do stuff that compensates, much as you did for your Meniere's.
My Meniere's, that was so long ago, but yeah.
Well, it was so long ago. I knew you when you were still having dizzy spells from that.
A little bit, not much.
No, but you were doing things that helped you to maintain your balance, and I'm doing stuff that's helping me to maintain my balance. So,
as if I ever maintained a balance. Well, thank you for the update, my dear, and we'll keep on watching this on osteoporosis or Swiss cheese bones watch and see how it all goes. And we've been talking about a certain Supreme Court Justice for the past couple of programs. Well, there are some new revelations about Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and his relatives to disgust us. It's been discovered that the right-wing billionaire Harlan Crow, who's been giving Clarence Thomas personal gifts of various things, vacations, buying his mother's house and some dirt nearby, and various other things, probably amounting to over $1 million over the years, none of which has been reported by Clarence Thomas as is required by law. Yes, this right-wing Harlan Crow guy has also admitted to paying the private school tuition for a nephew that Clarence Thomas has said that he was, quote, raising as a son, unquote. Those school costs were about $6,000 a month, which over the years would surely add up to quite a bit of money. And this Harlan Crow guy is paying that. Not reported by Clarence Thomas. Other judges have to report things. Clarence Thomas, nah. Also, this past week, it's being reported by the Washington Post that Clarence Thomas's wife, right-wing activist Ginny Thomas, was getting paid by a guy named Leonard Leo, a right-wing mover and shaker who has played a prominent role in shaping the current Supreme Court through his nonprofit group called the Federalist Society. It's being reported that Ginny Thomas had received nearly $100,000 in secret payments in 2011 and 2012 from this Leonard Leo guy. And the payments were laundered through Donald Trump's former senior advisor, Kellyanne Conway, who had also been Trump's campaign manager during the 2016 election. The money was laundered through a company run by Kellyanne Conway by saying that she was being paid for consulting work. And then Conway gave the money to Ginny Thomas. This Leonard Leo guy sent along a note with the money at one point saying, quote, no mention of Ginny, of course, unquote. Sounds like an acknowledgement of wrongdoing to me. I mean, you wouldn't say don't mention this if it were legal. So they know that they're doing something illegal here. And I guess they figure they'll get away with it because it's been a while. It's been more than 10 years. I wonder if the statute of limitations has run out on it. Crap. Also, while these under-the-table payments to Clarence Thomas's wife were being made, Leonard Leo's nonprofit group was filing a brief in favor of gutting the Voting Rights Act in a case named Shelby County versus Holder. Clarence Thomas not only took part in the Supreme Court's consideration of that case, but he voted in the majority in the 5-4 decision in that case that approved the right-wing attempts to block people from voting. Could it be any more textbook that there's corruption and you have bought a judge? Of course, this is all unreported by Clarence Thomas, as is required by law. And I wonder, did anybody report all of these shenanigans on their taxes? Is anyone going to bring evasion of income tax charges against Clarence Thomas, his wife, and other right-wing bandits? And this Leonard Leo guy is quoted as saying that he wanted to keep the payments secret to avoid scrutiny of Clarence and Ginny Thomas by, quote, disrespectful, malicious, and gossipy people, unquote. Yeah, they're called the voters. God, you know, hey, could we, you know, I guess Al Capone was, you know, just not as good as Clarence Thomas, even though he evaded income taxes as well. Christ, this is amazingly bad stuff. If you had written this in a novel, the publisher would have said, geez, this is sort of out there. The idea that a Supreme Court justice would so flagrantly be selling his votes on these kinds of issues that he's hearing things on, and that his wife would engage in all of these shenanigans trying to overturn an election and collecting money from a guy who has briefs before the Supreme Court, and then you vote on it and you're part of the majority blocking people from voting. If you brought that novel to a publisher years ago, they would have said, this is too far out there. Nobody would ever do that. A Supreme Court justice couldn't be that dishonest. Well, welcome to 2023, or maybe just welcome to the 21st century. Maybe just welcome to however long Clarence Thomas has been on. I forget when he was there, when he first got on. What was it, the early 90s he got on or something? I wonder if he's been doing this kind of stuff for the entire time he's been on that bench. And I wonder what things have been successfully hidden from everybody. You know, it isn't just that he's, oh, I'm not reporting this because I don't have to. Somebody said I didn't have to. Supreme Court justice who justifies not following the law himself by saying, somebody told me I didn't have to. You know, is that like... Is that like if you break the law, if you park someplace that you're not supposed to park and they give you a ticket, you go in and you say, oh, I didn't know I couldn't park there. The judge will laugh at you and say, it's clearly posted. It's there. Guy could say, hey, I'm not a lawyer, but hey, you can read. It's there. That's what's on the signs, the parking signs. Clarence Thomas is a Supreme Court justice, and he has been in the lower courts. I'm sure that in the lower courts, he had to file those things, and he probably did because people were watching him as a Supreme Court justice does whatever the hell he feels like. I wonder how far this being above the law goes for Supreme Court justices. You know, Donald Trump has said he could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody with a lot of people watching and nobody would do anything about it. Is that true of Clarence Thomas and other Supreme Court justices as well? Are we going to find out if Clarence Thomas decides he's PO'd about these reporters reporting on his underhanded money laundering and non-reporting of these very shady, you know, gifts that he gets? If he gets PO'd enough about that, could he take a gun and go shoot one of the reporters and kill him and say, I'm above the law? and say, well, he could shoot the guy on a, on federal property and say, okay, go ahead, try it, and just let them try it, and then he'll be on the Supreme Court still, and it'll go up to the Supreme Court, and he'll be one of the people voting that, no, he can't be tried for this because he's on the Supreme Court. That you know, basically, it would go like that. He would kill somebody on federal property, and probably some, unless Trump gets elected, in which case all bets are off. He could shoot somebody and they wouldn't even charge him. And, but, you know, say before then, say while Biden is in office, Clarence Thomas shoots somebody and kills them on federal property, and then he gets arrested because the Biden Department of Justice is going to say, you can't do that. And they will arrest him and all that stuff. And he will probably issue a habeas corpus to get himself out, which is interesting. Maybe he could do that. I'm under arrest, but here's a habeas corpus order from me releasing myself. Do they have to? And then filing a suit that says, no, you cannot prosecute me. And then it would go up the courts and it would eventually get to the Supreme Court. And he would probably vote on that himself, since he has no qualms about voting in the middle of a conflict of interest involving himself and his wife. So I don't know. You know, remember, it sounds far out, but the idea of a Supreme Court justice money laundering would have sounded far out some years ago, too. So who knows? Maybe we're predicting the future on this show.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
So here's a topic which has been not liked too much on this program. We tried it years ago, but this is just going to be a short one. Reading in the New York Times recently that chess has been really getting promoted. It turns out that during the pandemic lockdowns, we had a lot of young people who, I'm bored, because if you're very young, sometimes you can get very bored very quickly because stuff has to keep coming constantly. Whereas if you're old like me, you could sit there and say, what was I thinking about? And you could keep doing that for hours on end. But for young people, you got to keep moving stuff. So what they're talking about is chess has become a really big thing among young people. And a certain website, I won't give its name, I'm not doing advertising, figured out, let's have people playing chess on TikTok, which loads of teenagers go to. And they love that stuff, and they just eat up anything. And so they've gone to various websites, TikTok and others, and social media things, and they've really been pushing it, and they've got a huge number of people subscribing to their website. And so a part of it is that a lot of these young people had never heard of chess before. It's an old thing from long ago, and they said, what? What is this? And so they've gotten hooked on it. What it is they have not shown the classic thing that's done to chess, which has always been bad for chess, showing two very elderly men, sometimes with long beards, and they're sitting there at a chessboard, and they talk about how, you know, it's been hours, and they take an hour and a half between moves, and they show them with cobwebs on them because it takes so long and it's so slow. Instead, of course, they show what chess players have been doing for a long time. They show them playing games online, mostly, where they use the computers time it. Or they show people in real life using a chess clock. A chess clock has two clocks on it, and when you make a move, you hit a button on the top of your side of the clock, and it starts the other guy's clock, and the other person hits her clock, and she hits that, and it starts your clock. So it can be very fast. Some people will play one-minute chess, where you get 1 minute to play on your clock to play the whole game. So the game cannot last longer than 2 minutes. And it's a crazy thing to do it that fast. And I found it very bothersome when I played chess. And anyway, this chess this chess website is really getting loads of new people on it, and there are a lot of young people coming in. And the latest I've seen from the United States Chess Federation, I'm a life member, they said they have now hit 100,000 members for the first time ever. And I was looking recently through some old issues of Chess Life magazine, which is the official organ of the United States Chess Federation. And I noted that in 1960 or 61, they were bragging, we hit 5,000 members. And they were very pleased with that. That was gigantic. And meanwhile, they were facing in those days the Soviet Union, which had like 10 million members. So, you know, they choose from 5,000 people for who's going to be the best American chess player. The Soviets were choosing from 10 million people who are registered chess players and who were being given really high-class training in this stuff. And they're facing, you know, some American bumpkin from Brooklyn. Eventually, one American bumpkin from Brooklyn became the world chess champion, but that's another story I could tell another time. Anyway, so chess is booming, and that's interesting. I don't know. Should I bother trying to play chess again? I wonder if I should, because on one hand, it's a colossal waste of time, because I will never be any good at it. When I played in tournaments, and my rating, I was a B player, which means the average adult tournament player, which means as a chess player, you stink. So I don't know. I would never become anything good, but maybe I could have fun. I don't know. I have a treasurer's report to write, and I have meeting minutes to type up. So, oh well, I don't think I'm going to be able to do chess anytime soon. But it's interesting that the pandemic has produced a big upsurge in chess playing in the United States.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
I'm going to read a very tiny piece here from the May 2023 Scientific American, and this is from Quick Hits by Allison Parshall, and it has a little item from Kenya, and it says, quote, a 2.9 million year old tool set used to butcher hippos is the earliest example of simple flaked stone items from what is called the Oldowan toolkit. The artifacts may not have human origins, though. They were excavated alongside teeth from an extinct hominin branch, Paranthropus, unquote. And so this indicates that they had these tools. And they're not done by humans. They're clearly not done by humans. Us, we are modern humans. And early modern humans do not show up until about 200,000 years ago. Maybe a little more than 200,000 years ago, but not a hell of a lot more. And so 200,000 years ago, if you find tools near something, maybe humans made them. 2.9 million years ago, there were no humans on this planet. We do have something that was discovered years ago in Georgia, not the United States Georgia, but the Georgia in Asia Minor, the Georgia that was the precursor of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, because Vladimir Putin decided, oh, gee whiz, I want to expand what I have. Russia isn't big enough for me. And so he went after a piece of Georgia and said, I want this. And they said, no. And so he invaded them, blew them up, and finally, you know, they capitulated and they were basically conquered, and Georgia is smaller than it used to be. That, I guess, helped to embolden him to go after Ukraine and invade Ukraine, and all stuff happening from that, of course. But in Georgia, they discovered some fossils, and what it was hominins also. Hominins used to be called hominids, and they're sort of between apes and humans. You know, there's evolution. And so hominins developed over time. and eventually they've reached us. After us, it may reach something else. We don't know. But right now, we're the end of that chain. They looked there, and they discovered that there were tool-making hominins there who were probably Homo habilis, which is an ancient extinct branch of prehumans. And they had a colony at the confluence of two rivers, and they had places to live, and they had tools, and they had a colony there. And that was 1.34 million years ago, which is a gigantic amount of time ago. And people were very amazed at this, and this is really something. And so what's happening now is they have found these tools that are 2.9 million years old, much older than the probably Homo habilis. They can't tell for certain. Might be Homo habilis, might be early Homo erectus, something transitional between the two, something like that. Because they don't have a whole lot of fossils to judge things from. And so they have found these tools, and they were butchering hippos, which means they probably found dead hippos, and because a hippo is a fierce animal, and mostly it stays in the water, and things don't want to go. You don't want to fight a hippo in the water because you're probably dead. Even on land, those things can really hurt. They got gigantic mouths, and they have tusks, and although they eat plant life, you get that mouth with those tusks on it clamping down on you. It'll cut you in half. Anyway, so these people, these Paranthropus folks, were down there doing this 2.9 million years ago. Once again, human beings did not invent everything. We know that 400,000 years ago, definitely by 400,000 years ago, fire was being managed by somebody in Africa, and so that's pre-human. So those hominins did fire. They discovered or invented or figured out how to make and manage fire. We know that the spear, which I maintain is the most important invention ever made, we know that that predates humanity. And it's very important because it allowed the hominins and eventually the humans to be able to walk out onto the savannah without becoming instant lion meat. And, you know, you come down out of the trees and it's hard to maneuver and all of that. But if you have a spear, a bunch of young males especially holding the spears out can figure out how to keep a pride of lions at bay and survive. And so they could go out and maybe hunt a gazelle or two, drag them off and keep the lions off themselves and drag that off into wherever they have a place to live, and they could eat the gazelle. So, or their fire. And so we have these very interesting things going on. And of course, humans evolved in East Africa, around the Horn of Africa, that area, and eventually some of them migrated down to a place called Pinnacle Point, a cave complex at the southern tip of Africa. And from there, among a population of no more than 600 individuals, we all come. All the other branches of humanity died out, and those approximately at most 600 people, maybe a lot fewer, who were at Pinnacle Point, They survived an ice age. The ice didn't get there, but a lot of things didn't grow anymore. And they survived on picking up mussels at the beaches and digging up a rather boring-looking plant and eating those things. And they survived for thousands and thousands of years in Pinnacle Point. And eventually they radiated out from there when the weather got better, when the climate changed. And here we all are today. So this is an interesting thing to have found those tools for butchering these animals 2.9 million years ago. Wowee. You know, we didn't invent everything, folks. that has been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Ecologic with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Gellert.
And it's the middle third. Go out and enjoy it as you can. It's going to warm up now. And I think at some point we're going to actually have some sunny days. So enjoy those whatever way you can. If you can go out into it, enjoy it. If you have to look out the window at it, enjoy it. But just enjoy it. And above all, remember what that middle third enjoying former chess playing Dormouse said.
Rothenberg, I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to you stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
This is Bob Law with what I think is an important announcement. I will be on the air for an additional hour, now from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. A little more time, a lot more ideas and information. So join me on Saturday morning from now on for 2 hours, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here at 99.5 FM WBAI New York.
This is Ralph Nader. You can now listen to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour on Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m. It'll be one of the least forgettable radio programs in your experience because we touch on subjects not covered by the mainstream media, the public media, and often the independent media. You can listen to this program on listener-sponsored WBAI at 99.5 FM. We're broadcast and streamed at WBAI.org.
It ain't gonna happen until folks like you and me just stand up. Well, you've been sitting way too long.
Oh, step up.
You know what's right and you know what's wrong.
Rise up.
Don't let the system hold you down.
Mother, this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoons at 6 here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time. I should have been back here a long time ago.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
He's cool. He's excited.
This dude is bad.
He's sexy. Okay, maybe not. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
He's Tony Ryan. On WBAI New York 99.5 FM. He's got both.
Break him with the sound of the trumpet.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
He's got classic soul. He's okay. I can't think of anything else.
I'm Tony Ryan. Tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan. 99.